Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, about the seventh wide line. Marshal Kamenar. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday that if there's money on a pillow, money obviously being muksa, you could shake it off if you need the pillow. Amar Baishya. So Baishya comes and tells us a din. Shokak Arnaki Bechatzar. Somebody accidentally left his wallet in the chatzar. The halacha is menichala kikor tinik. He could just leave on it a chala or a child umetatla, and he could move it. Why? Because now it becomes a bustas al davar hamutter. The kikor tinik being a davar hamutter. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok shachach levena bechatzar. He left the brick in a chatzar. A brick we said is also muksa. Menichala kikor tinik. Leave on it. Put on a piece of bread or a child, or metaltala. Why? Because it's a bustas of davar hamutter. So there's a very interesting shaila the Chazanish asks. Fundamental shaila. Yesterday we learned, let's review this case. Kalkola, you had a basket, it had fruit in it, and it also had a stone in it. And the Gemara asked, how come you're allowed to move it? And the Gemara said that even though it has the fruit in it, but since it has a stone in it, what you should really have to do is get rid of the stone. The Gemara said we're dealing with a situation where we couldn't remove the stone without removing the fruit, and the fruit will get ruined. Peiros hamutunafim. But what do we see from that? Says the Chazon Ish. We see from that that whenever possible, we have to try to avoid moving muksa. So now let's go to this Gemara. Here you have the wallet, you have the brick, and the Gemara just says put on in a davar mutter and you can carry it. Aren't we supposed to do everything in our ability to avoid carrying muksa based on the Gemara that we just learned yesterday? Chazanish's question, very difficult question. Chazanish answers, we have to try to understand what the Chazanish says. He says you have to look at the circumstances. If you have a basket, in the basket there's a stone which is muksa and there's fruit which is not muksa. The stone doesn't serve the fruit doesn't serve the stone. So therefore the Gemara says, if at all possible, don't carry the stone. Try to shake it out. In our Gemara, the muksa serves the davar hamutter. The wallet is the base for the bread. The brick is the base for the child. In a case where the davar muksa serves the davar hamutter, and it's a bustas la davar hamutter, there the Gemara will agree you can move the muksa. It's a big chiddush. Otherwise, the question, we don't know how to answer.
But isn't this like a Dharama?
We're going to get to it in a minute. Very good point. Amar Rav Yehuda Bashel, Amar Rav Asi. Pamach shachu diski moloi meis besesratio. They once left the wallet full of money in the Rishus HaRabim. Obal v'shalos Rav Yochanan. They came and asked Rav Yochanan what could be done. Vamon henichu lekikor tinik. Put on it a child or a piece of bread. V'tatulo. And move it. So Rashi asks, what are you accomplishing by putting on the child? It's still in Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to carry in Rishus HaRabim. So what do you accomplish? So Rashi says there are two eitzes. One eitz is that you carry pachs midalat amos. You walk less than dalat amos at a time. Another eitz is that you make a mechitza made out of people. You'll have a bunch of people standing around it, and that's a moving mechitza. But we learned that lahalocha, that's considered a rishus hayachid, and you can walk with the carrying within that mechitza. Ask the Ramban on Rashi. He has a very big difficulty with Rashi. What are we trying to accomplish? We have a problem that you can't carry this wallet because it's muksa. Now carrying pachs midalat amos is also midrabbanan. So because we have an issur midrabbanan of carrying less than dalat amos, a davar muksa, we're going to tell you to carry more items. We're going to put on the kikor tinik. So what am I saving? On one hand, I'm now not going to have a problem with muksa, but now I have a problem. I'm carrying more items than I would have normally pachs midalat amos. So the Ramban.
It's
Bisratya, it was in Rishus Rabim.
No, but now with this Dalad Alad.
So, but the Dalad Amos, the Pachs Dalad Amos is awesome with the Rabbanan. You don't want to do that. So, what am I accomplishing? Because I have a problem with Muksa, I'm putting on the Kikur Tinik. And because I put on the Kikur Tinik, I'm going to be carrying more items, Pachs Dalad Amos. I want to avoid carrying Pachs Dalad Amos. It's awesome with the Rabbanan. I'm only doing it because of Hefsid. But you don't want to abuse it. That's why the Ramban doesn't agree that you would be allowed to do pachs midal ramis, and Rabban says you could only do it with mechitzas pnayotam. Continues the Gemara. Amma zutra, hechzik hol chani shmatza. The Gemara, all these halachs we learned are correct. However, only b'shecheach. If you forgot, if you purposely went and left it there, you can't just say that I'll put a kikar and tinnik and carry. Rav Rashi says, like we know, afil shachich namiloi. Even if you forgot, you can't just rely on kikar tinnik. For lo yomer kikar tinnik, the het of kikar tinnik was only said el lemeis bovad. Only when you're dealing by a mace, where there's an issue of kavod hameis, there Chazal said the heter of kikar tinnik. And we reviewed, let's just review, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, when David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech did not know what to do, so they told him they can move David by putting a kikar and tinnik. There is a shaila, I might have mentioned this already, do you need to have specifically a kikar and tinnik, or it could be any David heter? So most poskim say it doesn't necessarily have to be a kikar tinnik. It should just be something which is non-muksa item. But then the question was, so David HaMelech was wearing clothing, so his clothing should be the David HaMutter. So he answered that David HaMelech's clothing, nobody else is allowed to wear the clothing besides a king. So David HaMelech's clothing are not a David HaMutter because they have no use for anyone else. Shlomo HaMelech was a king, and Shlomo HaMelech could wear him. The answer is that Shlomo HaMelech was a child when he became king. David HaMelech was an adult, so his clothing wouldn't fit on Shlomo. But then they ask another question. We just learned in the parashas of Shavuot that v'kar b'kol yimei chayov, that a king has to have a sefer Torah on him all the time. It was attached to his wrist. So why wasn't the sefer Torah? Why wasn't the sefer Torah considered a davar mutter? So some paiskim want to bring a proof from here that when the Torah says the king has to have a sefer Torah, it doesn't mean it has to be attached to him. Because if it was attached to him, it would be the davar mutter. Others say that even the sefer Torah of a king is not allowed to be used by anyone else besides another king. And Shlomo HaMelech couldn't use the sefer Torah at that time. Why? Because he was an einan. Somebody who's an einan is not allowed to learn. So that's why that couldn't be the davar mutter. Says the Gemara. Abaya, monach kapa kipi. Kipi were such sheaves of grain that were muksa, and he used to put a spoon on top of it, and that's how he carried it. So we see that he didn't limit it strictly to a mess. Rava, monach sakina bar yoina. Rava put a knife on top of the goose, and that's how metapala, and he carried it. Amrav Yosef, so Rav Yosef, when he saw what they did, said, these young Talmidei Chachamim believe that they're very sharp, that they're very smart, but they're wrong. Why? Because aim with Amr Rabbanon, when did Chazal say that we could rely on a tikra tinnik? B'shecheich, you're in a bind. L'chatchila mi Amr, did he really say that you're allowed to do it? So now we have to understand, this is why you have to understand the Gemara. Abai and Rabbi were Talmidei Chachamim. They knew you can't rely on a kikar tinnik l'chatchila. What was their thinking? Amr Abaya. So Abaya said, Ilav the Adam Choshev. No, the fact is that I'm really an Adam Choshev. And Kafa Kipa Lomeli. Really, the sheaves are not muksa. Why they're not muksa? Because Chazlam is Galayu. They can be sat on. Since they can be sat on, they're really not muksa in the first place. I would just be machmer that in case a person would believe that I'm carrying something muksa, so he'll see that it has a davar heter on it. But I didn't really need that. From here we see the Paiskim say, the Mefarshim say, how careful an Adam Choshev has to be to go the extra mile, that people shouldn't accuse him of doing something wrong. And Rabbi says the same. Amar Rabbi, no, he loved Adam Choshev, no, if not the fact that I was such an Adam Choshev, I know Asakin Abay Yoyna Lomeli. I would never have to do this. Why? Because HaChazili Umtsa. The meat is anyway edible because the meat could be edible, eaten raw. So it's not a davar muksa. So really, I didn't have to come on to put on anything onto it. I did it because in case somebody thinks that it's muksa. So what's the Gemara saying now? Tam de chazal muksa. The only reason Rava says the meat is not muksa because it could be eaten raw. Haloi chazal muksa. If it could not be eaten raw, loy. Then Rava would agree it's muksa. Ask the Gemara, remember the Rav of Yehuda Sfirlei, as we've learned and will learn. Rav, there's a machlokes throughout the whole Masechta between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon and the application of muksa. Rabbi Yehuda has a very broad application of muksa, Rav Shimon has a more limited version. So now the Gemara is saying that Rav is saying the only reason the meat is not muksa is because it's edible by humans. which seems to say that if it were inedible by humans, it's edible by only by animals, then Rava would agree it's muksa. Remember the Rava, which is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Remember the Rava Rabbi Yehuda's svirlei that something which is inedible is muksa. But Rava told his shamis tavali bar avza on yontif shecht for me a goose b'shad emei l'shunra, and you could take the intestines and give it to the cat. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, those intestines are muksa. Why they muksa? Because it's noiled. Before yontif, you had a goose. The goose was a human food. Now on yontif, the intestines became animal food. So we see that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Answer to Gemara, no. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that those intestines are not muksa. Why? Hasam, kivin the misrach, when you shecht in their world where they didn't have refrigeration, as soon as you shechted a bird, if you're going to leave the intestines open, they're going to spoil. So that delay me esfoil, this person who owns a goose knows that tomorrow I'm shechting it, and I'm going to use the intestines as animal food. And that's why it's not muksa. But actually, Rabbi Yehuda does agree that with Rabbi Yehuda, with the broad definition of muksa, and he holds that something that's inedible by people, but edible by just something that's only a machu behema will not be muksa. Hachanam mistabra, the Rav Rabbi Yehuda's relay, they actually agrees with that, because the Gemara says the following halacha in Rav's name. The Darash Rav, Ish lo tikanes lebeisa itzim, a woman is not allowed to go into the place where there's pieces of wood, litl mem ud, to take a piece of wood and use it for firewood. Why? Because since that, even though you don't want, since it's put away for firewood, so he holds it's muksa. But furthermore, this is the proof that he holds like a Yehuda. For Uch and Nishbar, if you have a piece of furniture or piece of wood that broke in Yontif, and now it's Oymid Lahasaka, now it's used for firewood, also a stick of a Yontif. You're not allowed to use it on Yontif. Why are you not allowed to use it on Yontif? Because it's noiled. Yesterday it was a whole piece of wood, today it's a broken piece of wood. Who's the man, the armor that holds of the muks of noiled? Rabbi Yehuda. And here we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why he holds the mesikim b'kelim. You could only use kelim which are not muksa, they mesikim shiver kelim. Shema minari holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why did he say that the umsa is not muksa? Because it's edible by humans. And that Rabbi Yehuda will agree is not muksa. Says the Mishnah, you could take off the table, very relevant halacha, according to Beishamai, you could take off the table bones and the skin of meat. So Rashi explains a few things. First of all, Rashi explains, and the Gemara will say this, that Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon, that he has a very limited view of muksa, and that's why atzamos and klipin are not muksa. Now Rashi goes a step further and says that atzamos and klipin we're talking about are hard and not really edible and still are not muksa. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because like we said a moment ago, even Rav Shimon, who has a limited view of muksa, still subscribes to muksa. Says Tosfos, if these atzamos and klipin are hard atzamos and klipin, even Rav Shimon will agree that they're muksa. So how would Beis Shammai, if he holds like Rav Shimon, allow you to move them? So that's why Tosfos says that atzamos and klipin we're talking about are soft, and if they're soft, they're edible by humans, and according to Rav Shimon, they won't be muksa. What's Rashi? First of all, why doesn't Rashi agree with Tosfos? So the Pnei Yeshua says, because the Mishnah is going to continue talking about pea pods. There the Gemara says, with Pnei Yeshua, Machal Behema. If this was also Machal Behema, why did the Mishnah wait till down there to call it Machal Behema? The Mishnah should have said it at the beginning, because it's a Machal Behema. It's a proof that the beginning is something which is not even a Machal Behema. Now the question is, if it's Tat, not a Machal Behema, and Tosfos is, and we know that Rav Shimon agrees that something that's not even a Michael Behema is muksa. So even if Beis Shammai agrees with Rav Shimon, how could you move them? How could you move that someone's for klipin? So Pnei Yeshua explains that part of the heter, and we're going to speak about this in the Gemara, I'm just introducing this, part of the heter Beis Shammai is relying on is called graf shorei, something which is in your dining room or in your kitchen, which is particularly repulsive, you can move. So enechanami, Rashi is saying, says the Pnei Yeshua, that these bones are very tough, they're hard, they're not even a machal behema. So how come you can move him? Because it's going to be like a graf shorei. I just tell you one verse from the Rukiv Eiga. Kvega says, why does the Mishnah have to say both atzamos, which are bones, and klipin, which is the skin? The point is the same point. It's the refuse of the meat. So he says, beautiful vart. Atzamos are something you don't need to see. When you get a piece of meat, no, klipin means it could be nutshells. It's the same. The vart will be the same. Atzamos, bones, are something you don't see. When you get a piece of meat, you don't see the bones until you start eating it, and then the bones become uncovered. There, I would think that even Beis Shammai would agree it's muksa, because you don't even see it. It only got revealed on Shabbos. Yet the Mishnah says that Beis Shammai holds it's not muksa. On the other hand, klipin is something that you know about. You see the shell, whether it's the shell or the peel. Maybe there Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai. Kamashmo, it makes no difference if it's visible, like the klipin, or it's invisible, like the atzamos. The machlokes remains. Beis Hillel, mesalks a table kuloi. What you should do is pick up the whole table or the whole board, umenara, and shake off the muksa. Now, that is a very obvious question. The question that the Rishonim ask: what's Beis Hillel telling you? You have your table, you have that atzamos klipin, the muksa, and you need to get them off the table. So he says, pick up the board and carry it to the garbage. But it's a bustos l'davar aser. So how can you move it? So the simplest teretz to give is that there's a davar mutter on the table also. So it's a bustos l'esav heter. That's the iris teretz. That's the simplest teretz. Other rishonim give other reasons. They say, since when you put it down, you knew it's only going to be there temporary. You just, as long as you eat, when you finish eating, you're going to take it away. And the Rashba adds, and it wasn't there by the beginning of Shabbos. This only happened during Shabbos while you were eating. So that doesn't become a bosses l'davar aser. And the lomdus is that a bosses l'davar aser means that you designated this place to be the place where the muksa belongs. When somebody puts shells on the table, not that he turned this table into a garbage pail, that's where the shells belong. That's what he does while he's eating. So that can never get the category of bosses l'davar aser. Continues the Gemara, you could take off the table, perur and pox mekazayis, breadcrumbs that are smaller than the size of kazayis, v'sash lafuna v'saradoshim, these are pea pods or lentil pods, nushamachal behema, and then that muksa. Slug, this is a sponge. The Mishnah goes into Shaila on tzchita for a moment. Im yeshloi or beis achiza, if it has a handle, mekanchimba, you could wipe the table with it. Vimlav, emekachaba. Then you can't. Vacham oimrim, benkach or benkach, whether it has a handle or doesn't have a handle, nitel b'shabbos, if it's dry, Rashi explains, so there's no concern for schita, then it can be moved. Ven mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah because it's not made out of any material that is mekabel tumah, because Rashi explains that the only materials that are mekabel tumah are wood or sack or metal. The sponges in those days were really made out of sea, made out of fish, and that's why it's not mekabel tumah. Now, there's a very fundamental machloikus, Rambam and Ravid, how to learn this case of the svug. The Rambam, which is the easiest way to learn, says like this: when you take a sponge in your hand that's full of water, we're concerned that you're going to squeeze out the liquid in it, and it's a shail of schita. But when it has a handle, you're not necessarily going to squeeze out any water. That's why you could take it. What will be the halacha according to the Rambam if the svug is so saturated with water that even if it has a handle, if you're going to use it, it's going to squeeze out? Then it'll be awesome. That's the Rambam's mahalach. The Ravid has a different mahalach. The Ravid says that if a svug has a handle, it's considered, this is the Ravid's words, it's considered like you have a pitcher full of water. Would anybody say that you're not allowed to take a pitcher and pour water out of it? It's not schita, you're just pouring water. He says, if a svug has a handle, it's like a pitcher full of water. It's a little hard to understand the Ravid, but that's the machloikus. Now, the way we learned the Mishnah, the Beis Shammai was the big makel here. He lets you just take off the klipos v'atzamos. And Beis Hillel is the machmer. Beis Shammai is going to hold like Reb Shimon, and Beis Hillel is going to hold like Reb Yehuda. Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, no. On ein lon el Beis Shammai, Reb Yehuda, Beis Hillel, Reb Shimon. We have to reverse the shittas in the Mishnah. We're Beis Shammai holding l'chumra, and Beis Hillel like l'kula. And Taisus has a beautiful proof. We all know that Masechta Idyas It's a compendium of all the places where Beis Shammai is a Mekel and Beis Hillel is a Machmer. If this Mishnah's version is correct, why does this not appear in Masechta Idyos? It must be that the version we have in the Mishnah is incorrect, and Beis Shammai is really the Machmer, and that's why it doesn't belong in Masechta Idyos. We said we could take off the table these breadcrumbs. This proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Purun she'ein ben kazayis osel avdim b'yad. Even breadcrumbs that are smaller than kazayis, you can't ruin, and that's why we have to come up with a way of properly disposing them. So Tosfos has what? So now, how does Rashi say what's Rabbi Yochanan's proof? So Rashi says Rabbi Yochanan's proof is because the Mishnah uses the lashon mavirin. What is mavirin? You have to remove it. If you could just dispose it, the Mishnah would not have used the lashon mavirin. So Tosfos has two questions on it. First of all, he says klipas vatzamas, everybody will agree you could get rid of. Yet the Mishnah uses the same lashon mavirin. If Rashi is right that the word mavirin is the important word, the Mishnah uses the word mavirin by tzomus to klipin too. Furthermore, Tosfos says, if you remember, we learned the Gemara Masechta Brachos. The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan Masechta Brachos says that perurin she'ein ben kazayis, if there's not a breadcrumb, if it's less than a kazayis, you can't throw it out. So what's the Gemara saying? That Rabbi Yochanan says perurin she'ein ben kazayis osel avdin. So that's why Tosfos changes the gears of the Gemara, and he says, Purun she'ein kazayis mutal avdon. You're allowed to throw them out. So the Chasam Sofer explains Rashi. He says a beautiful explanation. He says there are two concepts. There's a concept of Ibur Oichlin, and there's a concept of Bizu Oichlin. Ibur Oichlin means discarding food, good food, to throw in the garbage, you're not allowed to. That Rabbi Yochanan says in Masechta Brachos, and Rashi and our Gemara won't disagree. If it's less than a kazayis, it's not of significance, and you're allowed to get rid of it. What's the proof? We do it every Matzoy Shabbos. When we pour out the Havdalah wine on top of the Havdalah candle, it's good wine, it's good grape juice, and you're pouring it out. Why? Because it's less than a kazayis. It's not that chosh. It's not a significant amount. But that is another concept, says the Chasam Sofer. There's a concept of Bizu Yochlin, treating food with disrespect. That is no nafka mina if there's a kazayis or not. And that's what the Gemara means here. Even though there's less than a kazayis, you can't just dispose it, throw it on the floor, because that's bizu yoichlin. And bizu yoichlin is always aser. Continues the Gemara. Sar shel afunim, the pea pod, you could take off. Mani, Rav Shimon, who's the man, the Omer, that says this? Rav Shimon, the last day muksa. Ask the Gemara, Eima Seif, let's continue learning the Mishnah, Sfug, it's said in the Mishnah, we just explained it, Im Yesh Le Beis Achiza, if it has the handle, Mekan Chabon, and you can wipe the table with it. Memlav Eim Kan Chabon. Now, who's that going according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because even if it doesn't have a handle, why shouldn't there be allowed to use it? Who says that anything's going to get out? It must be Rabbi Yehuda that says the Ovashay Meskavin is Osir. So says Gemara, no. Even Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon will agree, as we explain when we learn the Gemara, Mishnah. B'ha'afil Rav Shimon Moida. The Bai V'Rav D'Amri Tavaya, Moida Rav Shimon P'sik Reishiv Lo Yomis. They agree that if for sure it'll be in the Malacha, it's Osir. And a sponge that's full of water, certainly water will come out, and Rav Shimon will hold that that's called Srito Odisha. Says the Gemara, Hani Garin and Tamri Amaisa, the pits of Tamar Amaisa. So Rashi explains, it's a poor quality date, only animals ate that. Charlotte Tatinu, Hav Chazin Agav Imon. This date was always a Machal Behema. So even now when you're left with the date, with the pit, it's no different than it started Shabbos or Yonta with. It was a Machal Behema at the beginning of Shabbos, and it remains a Machal Behema throughout the whole Shabbos. However, with the Fersaisa, which are good quality dates, which are eaten by humans, so you start Shabbos with something which is human food, and you end, and in the middle of Shabbos it turns into animal food. And that's why it's also to be moved. So what did Shmuel do when he had those pits? Matatul agav rifta. He put it on top of the bread. So like Tosfos explains, goes back to Gemara we learned earlier today. Really, Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, and it's not muksa, because animal food for him is not muksa. But like we learned before, Adam Choshev wants to go the extra mile, and that's why if he could carry it by putting it on a piece of bread, so do it, versus just carrying it because he's Adam Choshev. Sha'anam Shapas Simon. Shmuel Tamei, why did Shmuel allow him to put on a piece of bread? Dama Shmuel, Oysa Adam Kotzorch Bepas. You could do whatever you need to with bread. Rava metaplo agavel kana demaya. He would put him into a barrel of water. Since you can move the water, you can move the pit that's in it. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua avilu graf shrei. He put him in such a large pile on the table that it made the room this repulsive to have such a pile. Have such a pile of dates in it, and therefore, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, there's a heta called graf shorei, when something is repulsive, even though it's muksa, you can move it. Amle Ravashi or Amema, some Ravashi said to Amema, v'chi oisin graf shorei l'chatchila, are you l'chatchila allowed to turn a room into a situation of graf shorei? That's why he didn't approve of that, to do that. Rav Sheish Zarek Levelishne, how did he get rid of the pits? He didn't want to have to move him. He used to spit him out with his tongue to such a place, all the way where it was out of the way. Rapapa Zarklo Choramita. As he ate, he threw him behind the bed, and they should stay there till after Shabbos. Amlov, Rav Zchari ben Afkulis, Shoymach Zaparnov Achori Amita. He used to turn behind the bed, behind the couch, and that's where he dropped the pits. The Zarkin. I don't know if everybody's wife would like this. Now, one child before we finish the end of the perek. Halacha l'maisa. Somebody's eating pistachio nuts on Shabbos. As he's eating the pistachio nuts, he has the shells. The shells are certainly muksa. And we don't even have a heter machal behema, because the Pesukim all say, even Rav Shimon, who's makel on anything that's royal behema, not to be muksa, it has to be first of all something that animals eat, and it has to be in a place where you have animals. Number one, I don't think animals eat pistachio shells. And number two, we don't have animals. So how are you, many of us? So now the question is, what are you supposed to do when you're eating pistachio nuts? How are you supposed to get rid of the shells that you want to do it 100% halachically acceptable? Now, so one eitzah, which is not always a practical one, is drop them right into the garbage can as you're eating. Which, you know, you don't necessarily want to bring a garbage can into your dining room or into your living room. So there's a tshuva in the Mechitz Yitzchak to Sklena Rebbe. He asked him the shaila, I want to eat the right way, I want to eat fruit the right way, what should I do with the pit? He says the best thing to do is to carry the pit or the shells tiltel kalach yad to the garbage pail. We began this perek saying that tiltel kalach yad is mutter to carry davar muksa. Like that you wouldn't have any shaila, because turning it into a graf shorei, we just said that's not really l'chatchila de geitza, because the Gemara says ain oisim graf shorei l'chatchila. Says the Mishnah. Chavish Nishbra. If you have a barrel that broke on Shabbos, a barrel of wine. So the way Rashi explains the Mishnah is like this. We're dealing where you only have one barrel of wine. Where you have more than one barrel of wine. If you only have one barrel, the luck is you're allowed to do whatever it takes to save that barrel. Here you have more than one barrel. So how much could you save? So the halacha is matzilin himena mazon shalashudas. You could take out enough wine for three meals. Why do I only allow you to do that? So machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say that if I let you do more from the behilas, from the excitement of doing more, you may come to fix the barrel. Other rishonim say that if I let you do more, you may come to carry the barrel. So that's why I limit what you do, and that keeps you in check. So it says Matzilim Menaj Mazon Shalashudas. In this halacha of Matzilim Menaj Mazon Shalashudas, there's also machlaikas. What does it mean Shalashudas? Does it mean at any time of Shabbos when the barrel breaks, there's a heter to move, or is it only on Friday night we let you carry Shalashudas? So the question is, do we compare it to the fire or not? Because the Mishnah doesn't say that. By the fire, the Mishnah said explicitly, at night, three meals, by day, two meals. Here, it doesn't say anything. So, is it identical? But it's not, or maybe by a fire will be more machmer, because they were more concerned. Here, it's not really a fire, it's just some wine. Continues the Mishnah, and you can tell other people that they could save. Here, too, we have machlokes rishonim. Rashi says that the other people also are limited to three meals worth of wine. Other Rishonim say no. That where are we machmer not to allow more than three meals? That's on the person himself. Again, why? Because since this person is all excited, if we're not going to keep him in check, he may do a malacha. But if it's someone else, He's not that excited anyway. It's not his own personal property. So we could be more mako and not limit him to shalosh shudas. Ovavad, shalayus spike. He's not allowed to actually take a sponge, because like we learned previously, we're concerned that he may come to do schita. Ain't so, and now that we mentioned schita, that becomes the subject of the perek. Ain't sochem's peris lahitzim mashkin. You're not allowed to take a fruit to squeeze out juice from it. V'myotzim atzmam, and even if the juice comes out from itself, still the Tanakama holds a surin. You're not allowed to drink that juice. Why? Zeirus shemi yischait. We're concerned that you may come to squeeze a fruit for its juice. Rabbi Huda is more makel. He says this: Im la'ochlin, if the fruit that's in question is a fruit that's used for eating, and juice comes out from it by itself, he will disagree, and he says ayotz mehen mutter. That juice that comes out by itself will be mutter. Only im lamashkin, only if the fruit is dedicated, it's segregated just for juice, then he will agree that ayotz mehen also, the juice that comes out even by itself is also. Why? Zeir shem yischat. Chalas dvash. That's the honeycomb, the honey on the challah. Shariskim erev Shabbos. That you began to scrape them out of the honeycomb from erev Shabbos. V'yotz me'atzmam. And then on Shabbos some more honey oozes out. Says the Tanakama Asurin. You're not allowed to drink for that. Why? Because we're concerned that if you're going to allow you to take that honey, you may come to be meratzik to actually scrape or squeeze the honey. But as a matter, he says, we're not geyser that somebody's going to actually go do risik on a honeycomb on Shabbos, and therefore the honey that comes out on Shabbos is mutter. Tana, says the Gemara, layispik b'yayin, with wine you're not allowed to use a sponge. Why? As we just explained, because we're concerned if you can use a sponge, you may come to squeeze out the sponge. And furthermore, v'layitapich b'shemen, when you're dealing with honey, with oil, you shouldn't stick your hand into the honey and into the oil. I'm sorry. Stick your hand into the oil and thereby carry it to wherever you want. Even though there's no really issue carrying because the honey is adhering to your hand, the oil. I don't know why I say honey. Oil is adhering to your hand. Shloyaska derech shas b'chol. Now it's an uvda d'chol. Carrying oil, just trying to scoop up oil on your hand and carrying it that way. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Nispazulai peris b'chotzer. This could happen. Somebody's sitting in the chotzer, and he has a bag or a fruit basket, and it spills, and all the fruit go all over the place. The halacha is, malakad al yada yad vel oichel. What are you allowed to do? You're only allowed to pick up one fruit at a time. This is machlokes how to learn the word vel oichel. Some say, not only do you have to pick up one fruit at a time, and you have to eat it. If you're not going to eat it, you're not allowed to pick it up. Everybody, but this no, there's no disagreement how to learn. You're not allowed to take the food and put it into the basket. Doing that is called the uvda d'chol. Why is it an uvda d'chol? Machloikus rishonim. Some rishonim say because it looks like boirer. If you go and you're starting to pick up fruit from all over the place, it looks like you're selecting, which is boirer. Other rishonim say it looks like ma'amr. What's the malacha ma'amr? Malacha ma'amr, we spoke about it, is making bundles of grain together. Now, truthfully, it's not really ma'amr, because ma'amr is only in where the, we spoke about this already, where the tefuah grows. Here we're talking my backyard. But again, because it's similar to ma'amr, Chazal said that's considered an uvda d'chol ma'amr, and that's why you're not allowed to do it. Absolutely. In their world, the chatzar in the living room is the same. If it would spill out on your dining room table, you would not be allowed to put them back into the fruit basket. Ain't certain as a peris. So you're not allowed to squeeze out fruit. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Moidar Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachamim b'zeisim v'anovim, by olives and grapes. Even if you wanted to eat them, anything that comes out from them is also, even though he was makel in the Mishnah. Why? My tama, kiven de l'schita ninu. Usually these fruits are squeezed out. Yov date. So he wants the juice, and you can't say he only wants it as the fruit. And the Mefarshim add one knetch. They say, what's the proof that that's the case? Because by wine you make a bari priya goffin. So you see that the fruit of a juice has a special of wine of grape has a special chshivas, and Shemazayas we also know has a special chshivas. V'ulo amar cholak Rabbi Yehuda af zaysim banovim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees by zaysim banovim too. If these zaysim banovim are not designated for Jews, there's no problem. Rabbi Yochanan amar alok Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros. The alok is Rabbi Yehuda by all other fruits. Then alok Rabbi Yehuda b'shar zaysim banovim, but not by olives and grapes. Amar Rava amar Rabbi Yehuda m'shmul. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chacham by Zeis v'Anovim that any juice that oozes out from them is Asur. And on the other hand, the Chacham might Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peiros. Rabbi Yehuda labaya, Rabba elba my pligi. If everybody is so accommodating, Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing b'Shar Peiros. The Chacham agreeing b'Shar Peiros. Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing by Zeis v'Anovim. We have in the Mishnah Machlokes. Where is the Machlokes? Amalei l'chitashkach. Go learn for yourself. I'm not going to give you all the answers. You got to harav a little. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I'll tell you what a machlokes says. Mistabra betutim remonim pligi. Strawberries, mulberries, and pomegranates. The Tanya zeis shemoshik man shemen or olives from which the oil has been extracted. V'anovim shemoshik man yain and grapes from which the wine has been extracted. There, vechnisim bein loichel bein lamashkin, whether they were designated for eating or drinking, that loch is hayotz ben osur. That's what we said. Rabbi Yehuda's maskim by zeis v'anovim. Tusam shemashkim emayim. What about the mulberries, the strawberries from which the water was extracted? Remindim shemashkim yain, or the pomegranates from which the pomegranate juice has been extracted. So our loch is like this: hayot vechnisim loichlin, if they were designated for eating. Hayoitz men mutter, whatever gets comes out from them is mutter. Lamashkin, if they were designated for drinking, so even Rabbi Yehuda will agree. Now the Gemara goes even a step further, which is going to be tomorrow's shir. Ulastam, let's say you have these pomegranates. They weren't specifically designated for either. They were not specifically designated for eating, and they were not specifically designated for drinking. Says the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda holds Hayoitz men osur. So you see, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that by Rabbi Yehuda holds that tusim remoinim v'chamayim. Let's just see one more line. Bein loich bein lamashkin ayotz men osur. It makes no difference what they were designated. So where is their machloikus limited to? Tusim remoinim. Let's to review. Zeis v'novim. It makes no difference what they were designated to at this point. Anything that oozes out from them, everybody will agree is osur. Why? Gzeir shemi yisroik. Other fruits besides zeis v'novim. Tusim remoinim, which in their world were generally just used for eating, hayotzman is osur. Why? Because hayotzman mutter, because we're not chayshu shami yitzchad, because they're usually not squeezed. Tusim remoinim is going to be machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say we have to look what they were designated for. If they were designated for eating, hayotzman mutter. If they were designated for drinking, hayotzman osur. And the chum hold makes no difference what they were designated for. In all cases, hayotzman osur.